All right, friends, our first lesson, Isaiah chapter 58. In the first 9 verses, we find. Actually, this passage, if you were here last week, it sounds kind of like Micah 6. And actually, I kind of like this one even more because it seems to give a little more, it fleshes out some of those concerns a little bit. So, follow along in Isaiah 58, first 9 verses. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? We humble ourselves, but you do not notice. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble myself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, here I am. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Oh,
All right, friends, we pick up now in our gospel lesson, the New Testament lesson, continuing exactly where we left off last week, Matthew chapter 5, as we get into the Sermon on the Mount. We are picking up at verse 13 through verse 20. Again, receive the word of God. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." I can tell you that last Sunday afternoon, Lizelle Jackson and I had some interesting conversation. In case you were not here, Sister Lizelle did suffer a sudden mysterious illness in worship and had difficulty leaving the sanctuary right in the middle of worship. It was a team effort. Let me say, it was a team effort. And a number of you lent your hands to make sure that she had the care and attention she needed. That was a beautiful gesture, and I thank you for that. She turned out fine enough, but in the meantime, it was fairly scary. She felt pretty bad about disrupting worship, as you can imagine, but she knows she was in the best place that she could be among her church family. We helped in love. With everything going on, I admit that I neglected raising prayer for the family and community of Tyree Nichols, which was important. It makes me sad to have lost that moment in the excitement. I enjoyed actually looking at his website and the pictures that he posted following his passion for beauty in the world. I'm sorry to see the serious problems in our society return again and again. The world needs change as quickly as possible. It always seems like there's something that needs to be changed. There are, friends, a lot of things that can happen in worship. We're obviously here for the worship of God. To sing, to pray, to listen, to share, to learn, to appreciate God's heart, even to do one-act plays. But we're also here for each other, as we were for Lizelle. We are here to know the world, to witness God's heart in situations like the death of Tyree Nichols. But we can have the most amazing worship that you could ever imagine, inspiring music like the angels' voices, maybe finally a good sermon, and as great and moving as that worship service might be, one thing that will not happen in worship is that the world will change. You and I need to deeply understand this one simple fact. Our worship, even the very best of our worship, will not heal or help the world. No amount of singing and reading and praying and teaching and listening and giving and reciting will benefit the world at all. That is my salty dogness of the day. But it is true. Worship has always had a hard time making things happen. Isaiah 58 flies right in the face of people trying to use worship to manipulate God, to appease God, to get God to do what we want. The people were not trying to change the world. It had already changed. The people had already been hauled off into captivity to Babylon. They wanted God to answer their prayers, to honor their fasting, to recognize the worth of their worship. This passage specifically highlights the abuse of fasting as a spiritual discipline. Fasting has been in the life of the children of God for a long, long, long time. By depriving yourself of food, you can devote your attention to the worship of God and the listening of God's Spirit. Moses fasted on the mountain. Jesus fasted in the wilderness. Fasting can also get you into trouble if you're fasting for the sake of fasting. You cannot fast and expect it to change yourself. This is a quick road to getting cranky and frustrated and embittered. Might even sound like I'm drawing on personal experience there. And I am. Fasting, or worship in general for that matter, can easily be self-serving. But the world has no care if we fast or not. Isaiah quickly responds with a much better idea of worship. Freeing the oppressed, feeding the hungry from your own table, housing the homeless in your own home, clothing the naked. If that were our worship, what do you think would happen in the world? If that were our worship, the actual world would be actually helped. It may not be huge. The effects would most likely be small. But our worship would help those around us and the world make the world a better place. Our worship would bring healing to the children of God around us. Every time a child goes to bed hungry, where is our worship? Every time a spouse is abused, where is our worship? Every time a political leader lies and deceives, where is our worship? Every time someone is rejected simply because of their color or creed or nationality, where is our worship? Every time someone dies because of the greedy narcissism of wicked rulers, where is our worship? Every time people are crushed, abused, oppressed, or kept in ignorance in the name of religion, where is our worship? It's next to impossible for us to imagine how important salt was in a time when there was no refrigeration or spices were only for the rich, or how important light was in a world with no electricity at all. When we lose power, we begin to appreciate just how much we depend on light. Some of us fare better than others, but ancient times knew the value of even just a little bit of light in a dark world. They knew the value of just a little bit of salt. In fact, in ancient times, some people were sometimes paid in salt, which is why the Latin word for salt gives us our English word salary. The point that Jesus is trying to make goes much deeper, however. Salt and light do no good whatsoever they're not used. Pure salt was hard to find back then, so it was often mixed with other things and needed to be used quickly. If it was not used, it would go bad because of the other impurities. Salt just sitting around is worthless then. Also, light serves no purpose if it is hidden. It's a ludicrous image, having light but hiding it. It's pure insanity, really, to imagine having something so precious, so important, so useful as salt or light and not using them. Who would buy a Rembrandt and lock it away to never look at it again? Who would achieve a pilot's license but never go for a fly? Who would build a home but not live in it? Who would love God and leave our worship at church? This is one of the great Christian fallacies. We get in our heads that, well, Sunday's the Lord's day, and so that's the day we do all the God stuff. The other days of the week, that's our time, right? So we can do whatever we want, act however we want, serve however we want. Salt and light are both either very useful or very useless in this reading. Every day that we're not living for the love of God is an entire day that's thrown away, like salt or light covered. I don't think we can afford to lose any day completely. There must be some moment that any follower of Christ can give just a little bit of salt or just a little bit of light. The beautiful thing about salt and light is that those images apply to everyone. All people can be salt. All people can be light. It may surprise you to learn, actually I kind of hope it does surprise you to learn, that when I was going through the initial process of becoming a minister, in the committee on preparation for ministry, the one that's in charge of helping ministers grow and become ministers, they had reservations about me becoming a church pastor. They thought I might be better served as a teacher, somebody working in a different setting, other than a pastor. Serving in a church was something they were not sure was up my alley. And I will not say they were all completely wrong back then. It has been an interesting road, and I am not at all the same person I was. Well, I say at all. I mean, I am the same person, but I'm very different than I was back then. What was important to me, though, was sharing in the presence of God as a church family. That's what I needed to do. If I could help facilitate the presence of Christ in a church community, then that's what I wanted to be and do. While I'm still trying to mine for salt and I'm looking for the matches, if I can do this work, I know anyone else can too. That's the gospel truth. Jesus noticed back then that the people who were listening to him might not believe what he was saying or take him seriously. Oh, he's just a rabble-rouser or troublemaker trying to subvert our traditions and accepted truths. That, of course, was the furthest thing from his mind, as you know. He was with us to show us the true law, not the law that had been distorted by human approximations of holiness. The Pharisees were literally the most righteous people in the world. No one cared about following the law of God as much as the Pharisees did. And there were Pharisees who were good and who were kind and right, who did help others. There were even Pharisees who followed Jesus, but many of them liked to toot their own horns. They took their hearts for God and let them grow weak and dim for the people of God. It's no accident that right after the Beatitudes, our reading from last week, we have this reading today. We have, you know, we've turned from blessing to service. Maybe, just maybe, we come to worship and find a blessing, find ourselves blessed. God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what are we going to do about it? Our worship service today will not help the world. It will not heal the world. It will not restore the world. A few good, salty people might, though. A few bright hearts, minds, and spirits just might, though. Our worship in the actions of God's faithful people begins here each week. Do not let any benediction or any amen here be an end, but an invitation to keep loving as God in Christ has loved us. Do at least one act of love each day. Make that time, our living worship. Out in the world, as we show the world more of what it needs to see. To God be the glory. Amen.